I think it would be really good for all of you to personally look into this. Those were my words, at least very close to those words, there it is, to a group on Wednesday morning. It happened to be our staff drawing together before the day really gets going. And when I said that to them, it would be really good for you all personally to look into this, I pulled out the brochure, this brochure, as a matter of fact, and I proceeded to tell them about bariatric surgery and medical weight loss. And as I was explaining to them some of the processes for doing this, it suddenly dawned on me that I told them all it would be really good for you to look into this personally. You know, have you ever put your foot in your mouth? You ever done that? There we go. Yeah. And so I was kind of like, this way and that way, putting your foot in your mouth. You know, for some people, that's comfort food. We do it so often that it kind of is comfort food. Yet, didn't take long for me to figure out that this was the wrong way to go about making this presentation. And of course, I attempted to quickly eat humble pie there, and they responded well. They responded in a good way. Wasn't my intent. You know, the Bible talks to us also that it's possible with your whole life to be going the wrong way, to be not presenting this in the way that God intended for us. And this is after you become a believer. God talks to us about that there is a right way, and he talks about it in Romans chapter 14. Will you turn there with me to Romans chapter 14? Romans chapter 14 is part of this series that we're in called Ready To. Ready to what? Give an answer, Nick says. That's part of it. Give an answer for the reason for the hope that's within you. And the Bible says to do that for anyone who asks. So, yep, ready to give an answer, but ready to have a life where somebody asks. What's the reason for the hope that's within you? What is it about you? Why are you so different? Why do you do this? Why are you like that? You know you are so. Why? Giving an answer. We're ready to with the good news of God, and it comes from how we're living as well as what we say. Both need to be presented, both in word and in deed, the Bible talks to us about. And of course, that comes from the thoughts of our hearts. For out of the heart proceeds actions. Out of the heart proceeds. Well, you know this. Out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaks. So our words come from what's in our heart, and our actions, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And we're to be ready there in our thinking so that our actions and our words are ready, like Paul was, ready to convey the good news. Is your life good news? Are those around you thinking, how great good news is on the horizon? Good news. Ready to. This morning, we're going to take a look that there is a right way and there is a wrong way. Romans chapter 14, let me crystallize this for you very quickly in Romans by having you turn to the last verse of Romans 14. Romans chapter 14, the Apostle Paul, verse 23, talking about actions that are going on, says this, "But whoever has doubts, is condemned if he eats." He's talking about what this person is doing. He's condemned if he's doubting, because the eating is not from faith. And here's the right way, stated in a way that points out the wrong way. Notice, "For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin." Operating principle here. How to proceed here in your life is to proceed from faith. Now, we're going to look at some things that run contrary to do that in just a moment. That's what the passage is about. And here, he's talking about an individual doing some actions and having doubts about these actions that he's doing. And the Bible says, oh, that's not from faith. And that misses the mark. That goes the wrong way. That's sin. So this morning we're going to talk about how to proceed, because there is a way to proceed that he talks about here in this passage. Look with me at verse 18. At verse 18, he confirms that there is a right way. There is a way to proceed. Whoever serves Christ in this manner is acceptable to God. God is in agreement with this. This is where God is at. Join God in what he's doing. This is it. Whoever serves Christ like this, thus, is acceptable to God. And, he said, other people see it. People who are believers, people who are unbelievers, they see the actions and approved by men. Looking at you, they render a test about your claim to know God, to walk with God, to having been saved. And they see this way, and they, by testing, approve. Yeah. You know, there's been times when we've had to interact with the bank over things, personal things, or things that were for the church, in the ministry of the church, interacting with the bank. And I've had bankers look across from me as being a preacher, quote unquote. And he says to me, there's good ones and there's bad ones. And he's talking about, as an unbeliever, looking at their life and coming to a conclusion. Do you know that there's good ones? And do you know that there's bad ones? Some of you are saying, I know. I can tell you that there are. You can go on TV and see some of them. Some are better than others. But I want you to know that the judgment is not mine. It's God's. as to which ones are good ones and which ones are bad ones. And there are both. The banker saw it, tested it, and proved that he could see it. So you thus serve Christ in this way we're going to talk about, and it's in agreement with God. It's where he's at, and it's tested and approved by men. So that's what we're going to look at this morning, and I want you to know that this is something that I do want you to take personally. Take it personally. I won't pull out the bariatric brochure, okay? But I do want you to take this personally. And it involves these three things. You need to have a way to proceed. You need it. A lot of folks, life just kind of happens to them. No, you need to have a way to proceed that he talks about here. And number two, there is a wrong way to proceed that he's very clear about, and he calls us to avoid it. And then finally, there is also God's way to proceed, and he tells us how to proceed. Now, I want you to know that this is about believers. It's about believers in the world where men look at them and they test them to see, is this really it? Really it? And they run a test. When I was in, my daughter is taking a earth science class. When we were in geology in college, we had to take certain things and run a test by dropping on them to determine what mineral this rock was. It was test. That's what those folks do. Test to see, is this legit? Here's the way to perceive that's in agreement with God, and it's tested and approved among men, believers and unbelievers. And this is talking about believers. I want you to see this. In Romans chapter 10, notice how many times he talks about brother. Look at chapter 10. Romans chapter 14, verse 10. Look at with me, Romans chapter 14, verse 10. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Verse 10. Or you, why do you despise your brother? He's talking about your brother here and your interaction with your brother. You're living with a person who also professes to be a believer in Christ. It's a brother he's talking about. Look at verse 13, where he talks about making a determination never to put a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of a brother. He's talking about your brother. Verse 15, if your brother, verse 21, do nothing that causes your brother. He's talking about us with our brother. This is about believers one-to-one, and this is like so important with God. He has unfolded to us his great work of us being justified. Let's take a moment and talk about this. God says we are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. We're justified, meaning just as if we had never sinned, just as if we had always obeyed, just as if we had always done it right. And this one too, and this is a big one, just as if I were Christ. That's how God sees us. And because that's the case, and it's the case of all his children, it becomes very important, since he's treated this like this, how we treat our brother, what we do with our brother. Extremely important. And there's a right way, and there's a wrong way. The right way is agreeable to God. It's where he's at. It's joining him. It's tested by those around, and it's approved. And the wrong way? Well, the wrong way is sin. That's what the wrong way is. And it comes, he says, by our faith. that I really trust God in this. Whatever is not from faith is what? Sin. Whatever doesn't come from your trusting your life to God, it's what? Sin. Even if I think it ought to be that that's a bad one and this is a good one, and it doesn't come from my faith, it's what? Sin. It's sin. It's sin. It misses the mark. It goes the wrong way. So this is what we're going to be talking about this morning. And you need to have a way. You need to have this down, this way to proceed because of what's coming. Look with me, Romans chapter 14, verse 10. We've already looked at the first two questions. I want to look at the statement as to why. He says, because we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. This is why. Here's the motivation. Because we're all going to come up front and center for a face-to-face with God. We will all do it. We will all give an account at the judgment seat. That's what he says. As a matter of fact, let me finish this now. An account of self to God, how to proceed. That's what we're talking about here. And the reason you need to have a way to proceed is because you are going to give a front and center, face to face with God. And by the way, this is not going to be a one that's like, oh, good to see you. This is going to be a one that kind of looks at what's gone on in your life. And then, please explain this to me. Now, when you're talking to God and he wants you to explain things, are you ever able to kind of, you know, shade this a little bit? Put a spin on it so that, well, this was really in the heart, but here is, how does that go with God? How does that go? Not too good, because God knows your thoughts from afar. I think we even sing a song. You're looking into my heart. That gets a little personable. Don't you think that's a bit invasive? I mean, give him space. Ooh, he's given us a lot of space in Jesus Christ. He's taken all the mess ups in our life, but still there's this face to face. There's an account at the judgment seat, he says, where God looks, considers in his thinking about you and your actions, and he decides. Now, please don't get me wrong. There are two places that this account will take place. There are two places. You will be in one of these two places. Just as surely as you're in this room, just as surely as you're breathing, just as surely as your eyes are blinking and you're seeing, unless you recently had cataract surgery or something, as surely as that, let me say, you will be front and center for a face-to-face with God. In one of these two places. Here's the first place. The great right throne judgment. J.I. Packer says there is probably, well, let me quote him here because I did write down his quote. J.I. Packer says there are few things stressed more strongly in the Bible than the reality of God's work as judge. He will evaluate. He will decide. J.I. Packer said that in a book which is a classic and Christians have handed down. As a matter of fact, I've read it several times. I don't read a whole bunch of books repeatedly, but I did that one, and probably will do it again. And in his book, he says, there is few things stressed more strongly than God is a judge. He will judge. So, while you're sitting here, get this picture. Someday, you'll come to front and center, and God and you will be face to face. And then you will start to explain, to give an account for what's gone on in your life. This account for all people will take place in one of two places. One place will be the great white throne, pictured in the book of Revelation at verse 20 through 11. Let me just read that for you, how that goes. Last book of the Bible, almost to the end, before heaven comes to earth, and you're taken on a tour of heaven, it says this. Christ, according to the book of Revelation, has returned. He's reigned on a thousand years on the earth. And then, John says, I saw a great white throne. And he who was seated on it, I saw. I saw him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and small, those who had stature and status, those not so much, standing before the throne, and the books were open. What are the books? He's going to tell us in a moment. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. Here's the book. God face to face. Explain this. Give an account. And they're judged. He evaluates. They're judged by what is written in the book, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead which were them, buried at sea. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Did you notice that? God repeated that. Did you pick that up? What are they judged according to? According to, help me. What they had done. Their works, their actions, what they had done. God evaluated it. He rolled it over in his mind and comes to a decision. And here's his decision. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, they were thrown into the lake of fire. The book of life is the book where your name is recorded when you trust your life to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for our sin. All the sin debt was paid by him. All of the lake of fire and hell was put on him. For whoever trusts him, their names in the book of life. The rest are judged according to the specific detail of what they had done. And Jesus mentioned it like this. You shall give an account for every, help me with this. You shall give an account for every idle word in the day of judgment. The action of just saying a word like, you give an account. Why? Why did you in this circumstance take my name in vain? And you give an account. You gave an account. And his judgment leads to the sentence. That's one place. There is another place where this face-to-face takes place. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, talking about believers who, when they depart from this life, are in the presence of the Lord, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, because Jesus Christ has borne the judgment, they are not going to bear the judgment, but they still appear for a face-to-face. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says this, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." He's talking to believers. We must all come front and center and sit down for this face-to-face with God. We must all give an account for what we have done in the flesh, for what we have done while we've been on earth, whether good, beneficial, or what harmful, not beneficial, not helpful. And what's the purpose of this? For God to bring a condemning judgment on it? No, we're justified, which as if we just had never sinned, just as if we had always obeyed, just as if I were Jesus Christ before him. No, the judgment fell on Jesus Christ. One guy illustrating this, Dr. David Jeremiah, said this. In the pioneer days, in the westward movement, the prairies were prone to grass fires, big fires. And what the pioneers would do in this, as they would see the grass fire approaching them, they would start a fire and burn a huge area around them, around their camp, so that when the oncoming fire would come, it have nothing to burn. So it would be out and about them in a big circle. You know, God is a consuming fire. That's what the Bible says. He is a consuming fire. And in this judgment, we would be consumed. But Christ took our judgment. So it's not for God to bring judgment on our sin, but for God to bring judgment on what we did, whether it can be rewarded or not. If you want a description of his rewarding process, it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10 through 15, where he describes how he evaluates this. Each person's work and the quality of it is testing. Can this endure under a test? What sort it is, we need a way to proceed. We need a way to proceed, because one of these two places and your evaluation before God is sure. I highly recommend that you run to Christ, get in the big circle that he's provided so that the consuming fire of God's judgment doesn't touch you. I highly recommend that. But at the same time, if you are in Christ, you still need a way to proceed. I want you to know, I've been reading Jeremiah lately, you can probably tell, because I'm going to refer to him again. He says that this thing of the judgment of believers isn't much talked about in the church. Said it ought to be. It's motivational. But the response is, yeah, but it just doesn't help people in what they're facing. It doesn't help them in their financial trouble, in their family relationships. It doesn't help them in a heavy job. I dare to say, it does. It does. It gives them a tremendous help. It gives us motivation and it gives us material to live for. This is how to proceed, because this is coming. It is. So let's talk about this. There's a wrong way. Clearly the wrong way. Look with me at verse 13, where he talks about the wrong way. Oh, by the way, just a note here. Verse 10 says we appear before the judgment seat of God. Verse 11 says every mouth will confess to God. They'll all come to the place where they're in agreement with him when he judges. It's not like, oh, hey, well, you got one by me, you little sniper. No, it's like, we all come to agreement here. And final point, verse 12. So then each of us must give an account to God. It's God's judgment seat. It's confessing to God. And it is an account to God. Then, how to proceed? Not any longer, therefore, this way. Verse 13. I'm going to back that up because I don't want you to do all of that. Because all of you will go there and not stay with me. Verse 13. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer. All of that for him to say this. God is judge, you're not. Don't pass judgment any longer. And when he says this, he says it. It doesn't come out in our English translation, but it comes out so strong in the Greek. They couldn't do it because English doesn't fit very well this way. You see the any longer in that verse? No longer. Don't do this any longer. That is at the beginning of the sentence. It's like God is emphasizing this. He says, no longer, therefore. And that is showing us that we do this. This is one of the biggest challenges to walking by faith. And it's judging other people. You know, I've been studying this all week. I've been studying this, reflecting on this, coming to this. And you know, as I was going through this, I was mulling over in my mind about ready to communicate with someone about a particular preacher. Now, this isn't one of the media preachers. This is fairly, okay, extremely local preacher. And as I was doing this, I was about to describe how this person is so as a matter of fact, on one occasion with somebody else, I actually did do that. And I had come to a very settled position about this particular local. He's so perfunctory. I mean, there's just no, he's really not, he's just kind of like going through and doesn't really. And all of a sudden, as I was reviewing this at home that evening, looking in the mirror, brushing my teeth, getting ready for bed, I just realized not any longer pass judgment on your brother. And it's like, because we do. And we do it over and over and over and over. And in this book of Romans, when he's talking about the gospel, that's This is where God is at if you behave in this manner. And if you don't, this is sin. This is how people judge you if you behave in this manner, and they approve. And this is sin. You know, I think I can better understand when Isaiah was in the presence of God face to face, Isaiah 6, well, not even face to face. He just saw him. And you know what he said? I am a man of unclean lips, and I live amongst the people of unclean lips. Rendering judgments. Which means you look at this person and you evaluate them and you decide, you passing judgment on one and on a brother. You call him up before you in your thinking and you decide he is so, she is so, they do, how could they, this is so, how can anybody claim to and do this, and you and I do it. And it's the wrong way. It is the wrong way. It is the way that I have to look in the mirror and face myself face to face and deal with this, so it's not me front and center dealing with it there. We have to. It's the way we have to go. There's a wrong way, and we have to avoid it. It's so easy. It's so much of a part of us. How much is in our vocabulary that I'll be the judge of? Oh, yeah. Will you? How do we do it right? You do it right this way. You judge not. John chapter 17, about verse 35, Jesus said, judge not according to appearance. Don't judge according to the way it looks to you. Don't judge that way. Judge this way. Judge righteous judgment. You have to look at it. You have to decide. But you don't decide on the way you think and it appears to you. Judge according to what the Lord has said. He, the Bible tells us, is the righteous judge. And I can adopt what he says. I can, and I can apply it in my situation. I can tell a bad preacher by what the scriptures say. But for me to judge one who says what the scripture says and he is so perfunctory? Oh, well, who are you to judge another man's servant? By the way, I am preaching to the one in the mirror just as much as I'm preaching to you. You get that, right? Yeah. Stop. No longer passing judgment on your brother. Okay? So, having said that, this then. There is a way to proceed. That's the way to avoid. You need a way. This is the big thing to God. That's why he hits on this one over and over and over. Because it's you with your brother. This is your brother. This is the one that Jesus justified. Who are you to judge him, to judge her, to judge them, to judge that family, to judge that church, according to the way it appears to you and not according to righteous judgment? We've got to decide based on what God has said, but not on the way it appears to you. This is the way to proceed. Take it. Concisely given, this statement is at verse 23. Whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. You do it, concisely given, from your trust in God. You evaluate and make judgments on your actions, your perceptions, your interactions, that person, their way, their actions, their interactions, their personality, their expressions, not according to the way it appears to you. Oh, that's so hard. Yes, that's what Eve wanted, that she would just know. She would just have this womanly intuition that she would know. And by the way, men are not immune to that intuition thing either, okay? That will just know. No. You judge not according to appearance. You judge with the judgments that God has already rendered on this. You take them and apply them. Concisely stated, it is from your trust in God, from what He has told us. You do this from faith. By the way, Jay Adams says this is the great holding principle for life. He says this, of course, being a counselor. A lot of times people come in with actions that are going on, and I don't know if I have. Okay, then here's the principle. Whatever from not from faith is sin. Where is faith at? Where is your trust in God at in this? According to what He has said that you're to trust Him in, not what you dream of. You trust Him, so you hold. Until you understand, according to the Scriptures, your trust is here with God. You hold. You hold. You hold. You hold. You hold. Well, what if I really think this about that preacher? I hold. I hold. I hold. And I don't say or do anything until I bring before the mirror, while I'm brushing my teeth, my thoughts to God's. You hold. Okay? Concisely given, proceed from faith. Then he starts to lay it out. But rather, look with me again at verse number 13. Don't render passive judgment on one another, but rather. And he talks about going in a different direction, going in a greater direction, going in a direction that agrees with God, going in a direction that's approved to men when they see this. You decide, verse 13, you decide, rather you decide this, never to put a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of a brother. You're never going to put something there that'll cause them to stub their toe. That's a stumbling block. Something in the road that trips them up. And it's something in the road that you put there by what you said and or did. You're never going to do that. Decide here. And when he talks about decide, rather than reflect on them and where they're at, reflect on you and where you're at internally. Review that and decide. Make the judgment never to cause them to stub their toe. Never cause a scandal. This is what he says when he says hindered. It comes from the word scandalon. What do you think our English word, let's say it like this. What English word do you think comes from scandalon? Any ideas? This is a difficult one. English word from scandalon would be scandal, that's it. And it's the picture of having something set so that when somebody walks up, they're snagged. It's like the stick. Have you ever seen those traps where they have a stick and a kind of a box? When I was a kid, I always wanted to trap a rabbit this way, you know, and I was always coming up with this box stick thing, sometimes with a string, sometimes with a trip wire on it, so that this thing, when they came up to it, would poof. That's what he's talking about here. Decide never to be saying things in your judgment that is a tripwire so that another person gets caught up in your evaluative judgment and sin and not based on God's. Never do that. Decide never to put a stone stumbler or a scandal in somebody else's path. Decide never to do that. And he says this in the strongest terms. This is imperatival. It's like, don't. Specifically now given, I'm going to move this up because I have several here. Specifically given, he's going to tell us how to proceed. Here's how to proceed concerning what is unclean. Okay? How do we think about what is unclean? Look with me at verse 14. I know, the Apostle Paul says, and I'm persuaded, not in my own judgment of appearance or what I would like to do, or this looks like it gives me freedom to do this. No, I am persuaded. I've come to a conclusive decision, a judgment in the Lord Jesus, according to what he has said, that nothing is unclean in itself. But if it's unclean for anyone who thinks it's unclean, guess what? It's fill in the blank. It's unclean. Okay, so here's the thing. What is unclean? Nothing. I'll move. Nothing is unclean. Nothing? Nothing. Beer's not unclean. Beer's not unclean. Marijuana's not unclean. Marijuana's not unclean. Heroin's not unclean. Do you know that heroin was developed by a pharmaceutical company for the purpose of aiding people with pain relief? But it was just too powerful. And now it's, you see, it's not the thing that's unclean. It's the mind and the heart of people and what they do with it that's unclean. Come to that. That's what's unclean. And that's what's in me so that I can make everything unclean. To those who are believing, nothing is unclean. But everything is undefiled. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is clean, Timothy says. Nothing is. To those who are believers, everything is. Does that mean I can go out and have marijuana? Great question. It's amazing you proposed that. Illinois or Colorado, even Michigan, from what I hear. Well, then, if it's according to the law, I want you to know it's not unclean. But just like everything else, there are consequences of actions. Just like everything else. I would recommend, even if they legalized heroin, that you don't do it. Want to know why? Because of what it does to you inside. I would recommend, if they legalized marijuana, don't do it. Why? Because of what it does to you inside. I recommend if they ever get back past prohibition, don't do it. Why? Because of what it does to you. Like the Bible says this, don't look in the wine when it effervesces in the cup. The Bible says this, who has woes? Who has trouble? He who stays too long at the wine. That's my recommendation. That's my choice. But you know, it's not unclean. And if your brother chews something different, don't judge him as long as they do it to the Lord. As long as they... So are you saying heroin's okay? No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's against the law. And number two, you really need to understand it. Right now, they're trying to understand this vaping thing going on. Well, what should we do? Shall we render judgment on those who do? No. You make a recommendation not to judge or not to put a stumbling block. If it's a stumbling block that I'm down on vaping, I won't do it. But if it's a stumbling block that I'm vaping it and I'm causing others to fall and stumble, then I won't do it. That's the principle. That's the one he's going after. You see, maturity is here. Not that I have this and I can and nobody can take away from me, but this, how I impact my brother, and I would rather not eat or drink or smoke or vape or chew as long as it causes my brother to stumble into sin, to do an action that he does not do from faith like I have. Is that where you're at? Is that where you're at? That's where he calls us to be at. Notice this with me. For, he says, verse 15. Where am I at? Oh, I need to add this one. How to walk then, verse 15. For, if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. Do you see the beauty of this? Do you see the glory of this? It's going for the one who died and the impact of the one who's died, life in this brother, life in this sister, life in the world around who looks at you and decides if that's the way you're going to do it. Four things here. How to walk then. Walk in love. Don't damage. Walk in doing the best for it's another person, regardless of how you feel, regardless of what are the consequences for you. Walk in love. For if your brother is destroyed by this. So verse 16. So do not let your what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. If this is good and beneficial and helpful, then don't let it be regarded as damaging and hurtful. Walk in love. Don't cause somebody to stumble by it. Walk then in the kingdom under the rule of God. Look at verse 17. For the kingdom of God, he explains. Verse 15, he's explaining for. Verse 17, he's explaining for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. What you do and what you don't eat, drink, whatever, but it's a matter of what's right, what brings peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what it's a matter of. Walk then under the kingdom rule. Joy, peace in the Holy Spirit. Spread around. Walk then in mutual edification to build others up. Notice how he says this, beginning at verse 19. So then, let us pursue what makes for peace and for building others up. Do not for the sake of food destroy the work of God. Everything indeed is clean, he repeats. Everything is deed in clean. You know, that's the problem with the Bible. It just states stuff that we have a hard time with. Everything indeed is clean. But it's wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he does, what he eats, what he drinks. Do this for mutual building up. Do it to build up a brother. What you allow, what you don't allow. it is good not to eat meat or to drink wine or to do anything that causes your brother to stumble. Last point, how then to walk? Walk in intimate trust with God. Walk in trusting yourself to God, not to your opinion, not to what you want to do, not because you want to control other people, so you're saying, this offends me. No! God's not given us a place to control our brother with this. He has not. Do this. The faith that you have, verse 22, keep between yourself and God. Happy, blessed, fortunate is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves. And it's not because I just approve everything. No, it's because my judgment comes before what God's opinion is. And as I see this and my action, this aligns with him. This agrees with him. This is approved to other people. I can do this. So, intimate trust with God. For whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. And whatever is not from faith is sin. Hey, folks, we can get tied up in other people's scruples. Some people don't celebrate Christmas. Some people have to wear dresses all the time. Some people, when I was in churches, they would get on people for having long hair. And I, you know, was in that. But then I began to read a little bit about church history. Have you ever seen the hair that some of those guys had? Here's John Knox. Look at that. Man, Nate, your beard's not long enough and your hair isn't long enough for John Knox. John Knox. And you look, the Westminster Divines, those people, all of them had long hair. And I began to think, why is it suddenly unspiritual that I have ears that are covered by hair? Wait a minute. Don't be unhappy by what you prove. I remember one lady in our church saying to me, I saw this guy had his hair over his ears, and I was so angry with him that he was so unspiritual. Can you imagine that? What happened here? What happened here is somebody's judgment became the standard of what's right and wrong rather than God's opinion. That's what's right and wrong. Get this, Galatians 5, ending note. It was for freedom that Christ set you free. Do not be encumbered again with a yoke in bondage, but walk in love. Walk in love. Walk according to the kingdom. Walk for righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit for your brother who's offended, as well as for the freedom of your own heart. Are you with me on this? You with me? Or am I here by myself? Some of you are with me. Are you with me on this? Amen. Good. Father in heaven, we come before you, and we just want to express to you, Lord, you're worthy. You're worthy of our praise. You're worthy of this curbing of ourself for a brother's heart and conscience and walk. You're worthy in that you've taken our judgment. You are the Lord of the earth, and we shout to you, you're worthy. In Jesus' name, amen.